recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but on a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Drew?
Yeah, we do.
Good to welcome back our old friend Jordan Harbinger.
Yeah.
Formerly of The Art of Charm and now The Jordan Harbinger Show. New episodes every week on iTunes and Podcast One. I'm reading a little something. You ready to become too messin', Dr. Drew?
Yes, I am.
It says
the
here.
Different languages he speaks, that's where you're
Jordan
going?
Jordan speaks German, Spanish, Serbian, and Mandarin. I know you'd love that.
Go ahead, keep going.
He was an Eagle Scout.
Mandarin, Serbian, Spanish, and German. All similar languages.
That's right.
Very
all
similar.
The romantic languages.
Yes.
Serbian. So, and an Eagle Scout, which I like. I miss Eagle. I'm an atheist, and I never went to a scout meeting in my life. I labeled it for squares and pussies when I was a kid. Yeah. But I love the idea of churches and religion and scouting. I'm into it. I would love if you said to me, if a guy picked me up, an Uber driver picked me up and said I was an Eagle Scout, I'd go great.
No, wait, that's a little shift in you. Do you miss not having been in the military or something? Is that where some of that's coming from? Like you wish you'd been in
no,
a big structure?
No, I started to realize that people that were in the military and
yeah.
people that were in scouting right. and religious people in general are just better
they
people.
Do better. Yeah,
I'd
yeah,
rather
yeah.
be around them.
Okay, so that's a new conclusion. You've been building to that one for a while, it seems like.
No. It's like football is the military. That's why I like
this. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
No. And it's become increasingly clear, right?
It's become more yeah. clear as yeah. more of the population yeah. has turned into a total panty waste that we need these people fighting our wars right. and speaking something that sounds like sense.
Or Serbian.
Or Serbian, which is hard enough. I'll tell you right now, though, my Eagle Scout thing was completely secular. There were probably some religious guys in the troop, but I was definitely not one of them. And
somebody in your family must.
Yeah,
have
I'm
kind
not.
Of,
hold on, I'm not equating the
no,
two.
Okay,
I'm saying
like,
group.
Boy Scouts.
I like Eagle Scouts and I like churches now.
See, he likes the discipline, the structure, the formality, the group, all that stuff.
Yeah, minus
yeah.
the discipline, and we have
and
a scout chat.
Yeah, yeah. So some of your family pushed that.
In scouting?
Yeah.
Not really. I just was always one of those guys that if I started something, I would just keep doing it, even if I didn't necessarily enjoy it. And when I was younger, that just seemed dumb and lazy, and I just kind of almost autopilot. And now that I'm older, I wonder, did my dad teach me that secretly as a work ethic thing? Because my
right.
dad has a great work ethic. I'm
right.
like, was I just taking cues from him subconsciously? Because really, I should have quit when I was like 13 because there was this huge gap where I didn't do much. I'd go to the meetings and spear frogs at camp and stuff. But I wasn't like, I'm pursuing my Eagle Scout.
What
right?
is the minimum amount of time you can put in to be an Eagle Scout?
Oh, the minimum? I'm not sure, but it's got to be most people never get it before 17, 18 years old because you're done at 18. They kick you out.
Right. And you got to be doing it since you're 10 or 12, right?
Yeah,
I mean, to
10
get
12.
To that status.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how you get there, Drew, because I think everybody, I'm harking back on my first day at McDonald's in Studio City when I was 15, and I looked around. I was like, one day I'm going to be running this joint. Like,
yeah.
I was like, hey, get behind the grill and whatever. And like, there was a guy there, and his name was Nate, and he just bought himself a TR6 or something. And it was like, he makes $6.55 an hour. He's been here for 4 years. Now he's grill manager. I'm like, one day that'll be me.
Did you think that way?
Like, yeah, I had this thought. I'm like, they're going to be looking up to me and they're going to be talking about my legend
wow.
about this place. And
the
then,
legend of Corolla at the grill.
But by lunchtime, I was like, oh, fuck this. Like,
yeah.
No way. I'm out of here. Like, so I turned pretty quick on this. And I feel like I could have done the same with scouting, but I still would have been out of there. But how did you see it through?
Yeah, I think the difference is, and I totally get that, because I worked at a movie theater, too, and I remember being like, team leader.
Right.
They make 50 cents more than me.
Right.
God, that's like $20 over the course of the day.
Right.
Or week or whatever.
Right.
I equated scouting with, you know what it was, is our scoutmaster was a hard ass. He was a federal marshal. So even though he was a hard ass and he dropped discipline on us all the time, he treated us like adults, even though we definitely were not adults. I mean, we were the most immature group of guys around probably. But he would tell us about transporting prisoners, and he would tell us about political things and stuff like that. And we were just kind of like, what? This world is so insane. And then we'd fart around and shoot stuff or play basketball. And he let us have a lot of autonomy as a group. So he'd say, what kind of trips do you guys want to do? And other troops were just kind of, somebody would say, we're going to go camping and we're going to go to the whatever mountain range. And the kids were like, yeah, this is lame. And we'd go, we want to do whitewater rafting. We want to do skydiving. And we want to go shooting.
Is this in Michigan?
Yeah, in Michigan. And people would be like, great. So the scoutmaster would go, as long as your parents are cool with it, and they'll sign this one half pager that was sufficient in the 90s to get you off of liability, then fine, we're doing
it. Who was the scoutmaster? I mean, was he somebody's dad, or was he?
No. His name was Larry Jaworski, Mr. J.
how old do you think he was at the time?
At the time.
28?
No, he was definitely in his, I want to say, his 40s or 50s. He came to my wedding. He looks exactly the same. And I'm like, what are you, like 100 now? I mean, he must be in his 70s. So I guess he was in his 40s and late 40s and early 50s. And everybody respected him. The only reason he was the scoutmaster was because after his son got through everything, nobody else wanted to be the scoutmaster. And then he was like, well, my son's done, so what am I going to do? And then there was just no troop. And all these kids were pissed off, disappointed, getting in trouble. And so he's like, fine, I'll do it. And then I think he did it for like 30 years.
But that's what you're looking for, right, Drew? You don't want the guy whose hand goes flying up.
No,
who wants to go camping with kids? Right here! Over here! Right here!
That's what I'm thinking about.
Right. You want the guy who doesn't want to do it doing it. That's the best.
Guy who's had a son, who's been through it, who sees, has a motivation.
And
because
an ounce of molest in that dude. No. Or if there is, he got it all out of his system.
Well, I remember.
With Jordan.
He purged himself on Jordan, and then he was all done. Tapped out.
I remember sitting in his car. This is such a better day, right? I'm sitting in his car. I open up the center console, and there's a revolver there. Oh. And I pick it up, and he goes, put that down. You don't have your hunter safety yet.
You know, like this little card.
I was like, all right. So this other kid, Casey, picks it up, who does have it. He goes, where's the safety? And Mr. J goes, there's no safety on this revolver. It won't fire unless you pull the trigger. You don't have to worry about it. We were probably like 13 years old at this point. Now, if a kid looks at a gun, that adult goes to jail for like 30 years for even having a gun in a place where a kid could see it.
Wow. But don't you think, we sit around and we sort of lament this loss of our society. And on the other hand, you think, Jordan and Drew and Adam, isn't it easier to be successful now with all the soft whiners around us everywhere?
You've been saying that
lately.
And
you've been able to, look at you, Drew. You're nothing special, but you're willing to work. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're like a fat whore who sucks and sucks and sucks. You know what I mean?
You're pretty successful that way.
Shows up with the lunch pail, knee pads every day to work, just ready to go.
Working, putting a couple extra hours too.
That's what I'm. What I'm saying is, oh no, yeah, back door. Yeah, no, I got you. What I'm saying is, it is okay. When everyone used to work hard, then you needed to be a little bit exceptional in the talent department to rise above. Yeah. I feel like if I can get my kids just to work hard, just like don't be a bitch and don't complain and don't whatever, work a Saturday, work some weeknight, work some nights or whatever, you'll just shoot past everybody, not with God-given ability or anything, just with just work. I'm ready to work.
There is that, but also education. I know you minimize it.
I know. I don't care about it. But
look what Jordan's got in his back pocket. You know what I mean?
Your son.
Five languages, 2 degrees. You know,
oh, that Jordan. Yeah. No, that's your son.
My Jordan's got a bunch of abilities, too.
I know. You always talk about his training and all that stuff. All that stuff's good, but I'm just saying even in education, you can just outwork people if you're not scared of a little work. Yeah. And I think you can be – you know, I don't think of you or Jordan as exceptionally talented. Obviously, I'm gifted. But I think guys like you is just guys who are willing to outwork everybody.
Yep.
That's funny you should mention that. Somebody was asking me earlier today, why didn't you stay a lawyer? Because I went to law school at Michigan. And the answer is, one, I never really wanted to be a lawyer. I never really wanted to be there. But I had always coasted by in school on just like, kind of just, I'm the kid who did his homework, so I was okay. And then I got to college and I went to Michigan and everybody was as smart or smarter than me, but they were drinking their faces off. And I thought, if I just minimize my drinking to two or three nights a week.
Right.
I have all this extra time to outwork everybody. And then I got to law school in Wall Street, and I realized, wow, the only reason I'm here is because I was able to just like eke in at the bottom test scores, the bottom grades. But by the time you're at this elite level, all those kids, they want to quit because they've never had to really work or bust their ass a day in their life because they're just really smart or they came in with a certain level of work ethic or performance. But as soon as they get challenged, they're just like, oh, well, you know, I don't give a crap about this. You know, C's get degrees, man. So I was able to outwork everybody in that. And that was my only competitive advantage for my probably my whole life.
You're talking about Wall Street that you encountered that?
Wall Street and law school. Mostly law school. Wall Street was a problem because everyone was a hard worker and everyone had no life everyone was smart.
Well, that's what I thought.
That's where I lost my competitive advantage and started going, oh, crap, I'm going to be homeless.
Right.
You know, all these people are geniuses.
But this is why politically it always drives me nuts when we never touch on hard work anymore. You know, it's just a lot of, you know, the playing field's not level, and it's who you know, and it's daddy's money, and it's why I've been trying, and it's all this thing. But we never get to the hard work part. And
you talk about it all the time.
I never stop talking about it. I wish the politicians would get a little more into the work part of life. And in terms of the message,
I kind of get the feeling that the emperor has no clothes a little bit with the politicians these days. Like, people are like going, oh, you guys are all full of shit.
It's becoming more and more evident as the skeletons fall out of everyone's closet and FBI texts and memos are leaked and stuff. It's just sort of realized that everyone's on the dole. I mean,
they're interested in their own power and their own base and their own, not Americans, not people.
No, yeah, not on the dole. What they are is, we think, well, there's Hillary Clinton over here, way over here, and then there's Donald Trump way over there, or Obama, or whoever. Like, there's this big chasm between everybody. And it's like, well, they go to Russia to do business and to make some money, and she sells them a little uranium and does a little business with them, too. It's like, it's basically a pyramid. It's, I got a bunch of money at the top, and then we go down the sides, and you get to the bottom, and you go, well, they couldn't get any further apart than the right side of the pyramid and the left side of the pyramid. Yeah, but they're both heading to meet at the same place from a different side of the pyramid, but still the same thing. There's a sack of gold up there. We need it to keep our empire alive, so we'll both just head up there, and we'll do it in different ways and for different reasons. And by the way, all the way up the climb to the pyramid, we'll accuse the person on the other side of the pyramid of doing something wrong with the sack of gold.
And none of it is relevant for us.
That's for the
Americans.
The
point. What drives me a little crazy. That's the part that's becoming evident for me. So,
well, it is scary looking recently. This is we've taken a left turn here. But when I look at places like Russia, I just interviewed this guy named Bill Browder, who was like one of the major venture capitalists in Russia and the former Soviet Union. And he was taking down oligarchs and publicizing their corruption and all this stuff and getting people thrown in jail. And then they arrest his lawyer, torture the guy. He's dead. They try to put out an Interpol red notice for this guy, which means you drive to Canada, you get arrested and extradited to Russia, where you get tortured and die, theoretically. And I just thought, like, looking at this stuff in Russia and the blatant corruption and how you can settle a business dispute, if you wanted to get Dr. Drew off the show, you could just say, you know, I heard he didn't pay his taxes, and then you die in a Siberian prison, and now everything's all yours.
Or the other thing they do is they make you lose your job and don't give you any possibility for reemploy.
Sure, yeah.
That's the same thing as going to Siberia.
Yeah.
And we've adopted that here as a mob action, not as a political action.
Now, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've adopted that.
And how scary is that?
Yeah.
Somebody just has to say, you know, I heard Adam likes to hang out at the ice cream store where all the high school chicks are. Well, done. You could just get nuked for something like this.
That's egregious. This is more, you know, Adam was taking a picture in D.C. He was at the Kennedy Center. And there's a woman that says he touched her during that picture session. That's it. Over.
That's what we've got.
If she speaks up and starts making a deal,
let me say this to that. I have spent the last decade trying to forge something that was a little bit had some resistance to those kinds of allegations. Now, if you're Billy Bush, you're fucked. Because you're Billy Bush, you don't possess any talent per se. Your talent is being likable, but that's
debatable.
Debatable too.
Well, you have your own pirate ship. That's
well, what I'm saying is this. Let's distill this down for a second, okay. Making me the hero at the end. And you guys have average ability, but when it out work and out suck, the horn next year. Okay. Billy Bush doesn't really do anything that other likable people could not do. Right. He doesn't bring anything new. And for that matter, neither does Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer sits there and he's enjoyable in the morning and middle-aged women in Topeka like him. But it's like, hey, he got $28 million a year. Now he's gone. All right, so what? Right? Was he worth the $28
million? Was there a giant hole?
Yeah. Oh, we're missing. Yeah. Now, look, when you pay LeBron James $28 million a year and he leaves, you notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your team stops scoring and rebounding and winning. But these guys,
it's interesting.
They're paper tigers. There's nothing there in the first place. Now, if you want to be Dave Chappelle, then you can go to South Africa and live on a ranch for 10 years, and then you can come back and get Netflix and give you $50 million for two specials because you bring something to the table. So if you want to...
So you're talking about Jordan to me now when you talk about bringing something to the table?
Yes. No. What I'm saying is I said about... There would have been the woman at the Kennedy Center who accused me of putting my hand on her ass cheek when we took the picture, but there's also 1,100 people who paid $35 a ticket to come see me at the Kennedy Center, and all I need to do is keep that group happy. Because when they fire Billy Bush, he can't go, well, I'm going to the Kennedy Center, I'm going to sell it out and get the money from that, or he can't say, I'm going to come back from my ranch in South Africa and cut a deal with Netflix and do blah, 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 blah. He can't do that. Well, I'm saying is, listen, I feel the same way about being a carpenter, which is like, I have a skill. And that's a good skill, and I can always get paid to do that skill. And you guys who, when the plant closes down and they move it to Mexico or whatever, and you go, now I'm 51, all I can do is fast food now?
Right.
That's your fault. Have a skill.
But
Thank you.
Hero. Drop the mic. Get out of here. Let's go.
Gondra.
No, what I was going to say was, I forgot.
But they can't take it away.
What I was going to say is that yes, and your point, of course, is valid, but the fact still remains that people's relationship with their employer can be severely disrupted by this now.
Absolutely.
And if you have an employer, which most people do, it's scary.
And I agree.
And
that's why you have to have a skill.
No,
because when you have a skill, it's easy to find another job, whether you're really good at welding or really good at doing stand-up. Magically, no matter how you've been besmirched, your next thing comes around a lot better. Billy Bush doesn't possess anything. We never really talk about it, but there's nothing like you go, what about Matt Lauer? What about where are they going to catch on? It's like, for what? Do we need them? What do they bring? What do they do? We don't need them.
But let's look at somebody who's saying, I don't want to belabor this, but let's say it's somebody who's an actor who has a real skill. It's a good actor. And no one's willing to employ them because it's like, oh, he's tainted.
Well,
I don't want to
It's like, I agree, but it's like if you go, I really miss Kevin Spacey. Like, I just can't enjoy the next fill-in-the-blank movie without Kevin Spacey. And someone will go, well, there's all these other guys who are really good, and they've been in long-term relationships. And you go, okay, put one of them in. We need tons of actors. Like, we need tons of welders.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, either you better be something that no one else does, or we need tons of.
So let's just so we really put a fine point on this. What should Kevin Spacey have done or do to protect himself? Let's say he's guilty and he's tainted. What skill set would he need to be able to pull himself through this?
I would assume if I was Kevin Spacey, well, first thing you must do is assess yourself and go, and I don't blame Billy Bush, I think he got jobbed, but if you're Billy Bush, you better watch your P's and Q's because you get axed and there's no other place to go. Now, if you're Kevin Spacey, I think you have to be thinking, how can I diversify? What else can I do? Not a theater with my name on it, but can I start a production company? Right, can the production company go on without me? Do I need, can we produce documentaries or something and have another?
Go to a small town and do theater if you like doing that. Something like, somebody would come see that, I would think. You
know? Yeah, but Kevin Spacey's not going to make his nut, pardon the pun, yeah, yeah. going to.
No, going that's what got him in
he got his
in
nut
place.
At the small theaters in the got first it. Place. No, what I'm saying is Drew, you have 17 jobs now, right?
Yeah.
I have 14 jobs.
Yeah.
There is no one. It needs total. You need to diversify your portfolio.
It's diversified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Jordan, hold on a second. Let me tell you about Dollar Shave Club. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
They deserve a gold medal over there. Everything you need to look and smell and feel your best. Shampoo, body wash, toothpaste. Toothpaste? Dollar Shave Club does toothpaste?
I love the way they drop this stuff on us. We like it. We like it more every time they drop something like that in. That's
I'm
awesome.
Into it.
Yeah,
I didn't know they did toothpaste. It's all it's, they do toothpaste. Anyway, look, so Dollar Shave Club is like Porsche. It's like they find out they make a mountain bike, and you don't go, "Well, let me see the mountain bike." You go, "Oh, yeah. It's a Porsche makes a mountain bike."
Let's go for
I'm
it.
In.
Yeah,
yeah, it's amazing. High quality shave every morning, plus Dr. Carver shave butter. Helps the razors gently slide across your velvety skin. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything to you. No more trips to the store, wandering the aisles, trying to get the guy to unlock the razor cartridges. It's Dollar Shave Club, Drew.
Go for the gold. Join at Dollar Shave Club today. And for just $5 with free shipping, you'll get their Shit Shower Shave Starter Set. It is a six-blade executive razor plus trial sizes of shave butter, body cleanser, one-wipe Charlie's. Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/ADS. That is dollarshaveclub.com/ADS.
I always notice that they lock the blades up at the store.
Oh, bad sign.
And little things are easy to steal in general, right? But they don't lock up freaking fun-size Butterfinger. They don't lock up
Chapstick. Well, no resale.
That's true.
See, you're doing a thing that I figured out a long time ago, which is when people are stealing car stereos. And when my car stereo stolen, I was like, "Who? What are
why?
They?
Why?" Yeah.
And it's not because they love listening to other people's car stereos, because they're junkies.
Yeah.
And they need to sell it now. That's the that's
so you can resell those razor blades, and you're just like, "Look, man, I just made $100 because I stole all these razors from Walgreens."
They're liquid.
I would assume,
dang, like yeah. Bitcoin.
I have no idea where they're selling them, though, but all right. Hey, Jeff, 40, Kansas City.
You giving up on me?
No, what's up?
Oh, well, I just had a question for Ace and Drew.
All right. Thinks you're a screener.
We're not the screener. You're on the air. Let's go.
Oh, hey, Ace, Drew, what's up?
Hey, man, what's happening?
So I've been playing a lot of chess with my six-year-old lately. His idea. I never knew how to play chess, but he wanted to start playing chess, and it's a lot of fun. He's a really smart, interesting kid, but he's a terrible loser. He, like, throws the board, you know, gets really upset. And just thinking back to your Jordan Peterson interview last week or so, you know, how do you make kids that, you know, are good losers or, like, how do I work him through this situation? Obviously, he's
I have found that you have to stay on your ground, but it's pretty doable.
Wait. First of all, what 6-year old is a good loser?
No 6-year olds are good losers. No guys are good losers. And
this is normal. It's a sort of exaggerated normal behavior.
Well,
so you just wanted
I got
to
it,
tone
but
it
like,
down.
He'd like him to shape it a little bit.
Tone it down. And, yeah.
You know,
he's not going to be a good loser at 6.
No,
he may become
not.
Accustomed to losing because if he plays more, that's one thing to do. Play
he's
more.
He's not. Yeah, play more. Yeah. And then also do what I tried to do with my kids last weekend, which is like I said, well, we're going to the Mexican place on Saturday. And they were like, no, we hate that place. We don't want to go to that place. We want to go to the ramen place or whatever. And I was like, okay, well, fine. Then you guys will stay home and me and mommy will go. And they're like, we don't want to go. I go, that's. You don't have to go. We'll just go, and then you stay home, and then we'll go to the Mexican food place, or maybe next week we'll go to the ramen place. And they're like, what's going on? We want to... And I was like, we're going to the Mexican food place. If you don't want to go to the Mexican food place, that's fine. Stay home. We'll make you something out of the freezer, and we'll, me and mommy will go to the Mexican food place. No yelling, no into it, no engaging, no anything. Yeah. It's I'm the adult. These are my rules. Here's how it goes.
If you're yelling at your kids or you're reacting to your kids, it's you. It's not the kid.
I need you to come by the house a little later on, Jerome. Heavens.
Talk about that.
Chamber that. Yeah. Well, there are others. But, yes.
There are others.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is like, you need to be the adult, and you need to go, oh, and the next time he goes, let's play chess, Daddy, you go, no, because of the way you acted last time we did this. Now, well, I'll tell you what, if you want to sit down and try it, we can try it, but if I see you pushing things around or flipping the board over or acting out anyway, then I'm just going to get up and go in the other room.
Or if he's able to finish the game and then acts out, there's a consequence. That's it. And very, very simple consequence. Look, if you have a tantrum at the end, we're going to have to contain that. You're going to your room. That's it.
Yeah.
Have fun. It'll be all right, but mm-hmm. this is not okay. And I understand it's not fun to lose, but we can't have you throwing pieces, you know, boards all over the place. Can't have it. That's all.
Agreed.
No muss, no fuss.
No muss and no fuss. Jordan.
I don't have kids,
yes.
But I feel like when I was a kid and I lost something, I wasn't upset because I lost. I was upset because I wanted to impress my dad or mom.
Ooh. Oh, mm-hmm. I like that point
and
of view.
That was what was aggravating. Like, Jeff's kid might not give a crap about chess, but he might be like, I look bad because daddy beat me, so I got to figure out how to process this.
Then, if that's a great perspective, and one thing he can say is, you know, if don't worry about me. I'm impressed that you're such a great player. I'm a grown up. I'm probably going to win a lot of the games, but you impress. Just you keep stroking him. You impress the hell out of me. You're such mm-hmm. a great player. It's so excited
well,
that I'm so excited
on, let's
and impressed.
Do that much stroking. I mean, you're so impressed.
I think 6-year old wants to play chess and is decent at it. That's impressive. You should give him a lot of accolades.
I agree, but we'll strike a balance. But that's an interesting point, which is it's not losing; it's who you lose to.
Yeah,
I can remember as a kid, like. Losing to a girl was a big deal,
yes,
not
exactly.
losing. And that's a pretty good example of if the jock from school beat you, you didn't feel that bad. But when the little girl, Sally Ann, beat you, then you did feel bad. So there is a pretty big factor of who you're losing to.
What's on your radar, Jordan, these days? What are you thinking about? What are you worrying about? What are you thinking about doing?
That's a good question. There's a lot going on. Apropos this show, though, earlier yesterday or today, I can't remember now, the days are all blurring together. I read this article that I knew you guys would chew up because it was about this book called The Death of Expertise.
And I'm very familiar with it.
You are from, okay, so I want to read this
book. I've never heard of it, but I'd like to butt in and talk about it for
yes,
a long
of course.
Time.
But, there's a whole,
why not?
There's almost a discipline evolving on that topic.
Yeah,
a lot of people talking about it now, and it's a big deal.
About the death of expertise.
Why Americans do not trust experts. Dismiss them.
You're saying there's a whole group talking about.
There's a lot of people talking about this issue and trying to figure out why it happened and what to do about it because it's a problem.
Well, it's how you end up
with flat earthers and things like that.
It's been going on for a long time. Drew, I feel like you're obsessed with the flat earthers.
I'm
not worried about the flat earthers. I worry about the flat earthers like,
they represent something
like
me,
the
though.
Left talks about Nazis.
No.
I'm like,
right.
You know, what
right.
Nazis are we talking about? They're marching in Poughkeepsie.
Right.
Like, yeah, okay, those
it.
18 guys, please,
point
let's
made.
Stop talking about them.
Okay, point made.
They don't represent anybody.
Well, they represent a phenomenon to me, but you're absolutely correct. You're right. Point taken.
Okay. Oh, look at you, Drew.
I will change my position.
Bro,
it's like the 6-year-old in the chessboard.
You may hear about them once, twice in the future, but because they do get in my crawl.
This has been going on for a while, and it's starting to build to a head. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think it's building to a head is expert suggests an order. It suggests somebody's above somebody else because that person is the expert. And we started waging war on this whole order thing a few years back. Like, hey, just because I'm the sergeant, you're the general, doesn't mean I don't have a valid opinion. It's every bit as valid as you with your four pointy stars. What about? And then someone like get in between the two of them and go, yeah, he's a human being and he has an opinion and his opinion is every bit as it's all been part of this sort of gushy left bullshit. I've been hearing it my entire life, but now it's really taken over. So it's not that we don't like experts. It's that the experts symbolically stand for something. Like when we remember when we interviewed those assholes, Chumbawamba?
Yes.
All right.
God.
They're anarchists, right?
Yes.
To me, anarchists are just crazy far, as far left as you can possibly, like beyond everything left, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I would say to them, like, they'd go, well, why is it somebody can fly an airplane and be an airplane pilot and he has to take out the garbage over there? And I'd go, because that guy's trained and the other guy's not trained. And that's the way it works. Well, in my world, he takes out the garbage one day and then he flies the airplane the next day. That's their world.
Yeah.
It's a retarded world. It doesn't work. It can't work. Nobody want to fly an airplane with a guy who's emptying garbage the day before. Now he's in a 777.
Right.
But it's a weird utopia world. It's angry at mom and it's angry at dad angry world dad because mostly. He's the first authoritarian in your life. And it's lash out against everyone else. And all the pussies just take their side.
Now, there's one other layer to it. That you're, yes, I absolutely agree with you. And there's one piece that's not so much emphasized in this book, which is they'll get an education being a failure and many other topics, narcissism, things like that. But I've noticed there's this huge misconception of the difference between information and knowledge and training and wisdom. You know, physicians, friends of mine have started putting up, you know, these statements in their offices. They do not confuse your Google search with my medical training.
Oh, that's – yeah. You know, yeah. WebMD is wrong. Well,
no, but you can get the information and have no judgment. You're going to a physician for their judgment, their applied knowledge, having seen that thing you just read about 1,000 times in the real world, which is different than just that knowledge, that information you put in your head. And so that's confusing people. They think because they have access to everything on their phone, it's all here. No, they don't have access to really shit here.
Yeah,
they have,
but they have I still think there's a much bigger world view of this, which is we have instilled people with this power of if you feel it can't be wrong. This is my feelings and you can't deny my feelings and you're valid. You're entitled to your feelings, but I'm also entitled to my feelings and you can't take that away from me and all this fucking nonsense where I've been yelling at people my entire life. I'm a fucking expert. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And if it's invisible, like comedy, no one's an expert. The only thing I miss about being a carpenter is that nobody knew shit.
Right.
I knew everything, and they can't argue with you because you start saying
– you're the one who hammered in the nails. Yeah.
Start mortising. And,
Remember how long I've been complaining about people coming after, you know, second-guessing my judgment? That was well before
I had to yell at one of your elderly patients on the phone.
That's right. Yeah. That's true. He did.
In New York.
On the way to the airport.
Was that New York?
I think it was
Chicago?
In my mind, we were in L.A. going up over La Cienega, the hill there. In my head. It may not have been there. The memories are incomplete.
Could have been.
And, oh, no. That might have been where you got on my wife.
Oh, I could have yelled at her.
Okay. Okay, now. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That may have been invented there.
You know, I'm going to make into an app.
What's it called?
It's called, it's called Will Do. And it's the third time you say Will Do in a 30-second period, the phone gets staticky and cuts off. Because that means you want to get the fuck off the phone with your wife. Will do.
Okay.
Yeah. Will do. Got it. Okay. No, I understand. No, I heard you. I heard you the first time, but will do. And the third time you say will do. Now, if you say it once in a 10-minute conversation, it's not going to get, but if you say, when Drew works it in three times in like 18 seconds, that means he wants to get off the phone, but he can't do it because his wife won't listen. But in this app, it gets static then cuts off.
I dig it.
And then she thinks you just drove
Break it up. Will do. Break it up. Gotta go.
No, don't even say breaking up.
All right.
Don't do gotta
go. Just takes care of it.
The third will do gets static. It gets cut off. She just thinks you went through a tunnel and they can't get the cell phone reception is bad.
For the next 2 minutes, all calls go directly to voicemail.
That's next 20 minutes.
Paid upgrade for that.
That's right. Paid upgrade. Here's an upgrade for you, everyone. Better help. Connect with an experienced therapist in a safe and private environment. Text your therapist anytime and schedule phone, video, or chat sessions when it's convenient. No explaining why you have to leave work or fight traffic or no uncomfortable waiting rooms. You'll be communicating within 24 hours or even and oftentimes much sooner. Truly affordable, a month of online therapy often costs less than a single traditional face-to-face session. Just go to betterhelp.com/ADS. Fill out the questionnaire to assess your needs and get matched with a counselor. If you're not happy, with them, then you can request a new one anytime. No additional cost, right, Drewski?
Learn more or to sign up, go to betterhelp.com/ADS. Make sure to express your support for the show by entering the code, the invite code, ADS, and you'll get your first 7 days for free. you decide online counseling is not right for you, or simply all you got to do is cancel within 7 days with no obligation. There's no shame in getting help. You're worth it.
Will do.
Will do.
All right.
I thought you were going to say, if you're not happy, you're in the right place for online counseling.
It's a little hiccup there. Jordan Harbinger, the podcast, the Jordan Harbinger Show, new episodes every week on iTunes and Podcast One. And you can hop to his website at jordanharbinger.com as well. Me, you can go to adamcarolla.com and find out where I'm playing, doing stand-up, No Safe Spaces with Dennis Prager. That's February 27th, Phoenix, Grand Canyon University, March 2nd, a little after that, Thunder Valley Casino, Sacramento. Prager, yeah, that's this Tuesday, so check that out. And go to Chassis, two S's and a Y, see all the movies we got there. And go to adamcarolla.com for all the stuff you need. Drew, what
do you got? All the stuff you need there.
There you go. Till next time. Adam Carolla for Jordan Harbinger and Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.